Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I am Jules Holland.
And I am Jim Moyer. Join us for Jules and Jim's Joyride.
Joyride. Yes, Joyride. Motoring memories.
Train travel trips.
Things on boats.
Air crashes.
Barrows and cycling moments.
Sex on the back seat of a Datsun.
You're going to do an interview.
Are you waiting for me to speak?
Yes. Yeah. Is this, can you guess who our guest was?
That was a good start, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, yes, I'll start speaking if everyone's happy with that.
Yes, I think so.
Right, well, hello and welcome to today's podcast. I wonder if you can guess who our guest is today. Say something.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Jules. It's so nice to be invited.
Well, that's a hint there is that she's a classic... I've given it away. She is a classic actress.
You're very enigmatic so far. Can you do an introduction and we can find out, do you think?
All right. Well, she's a top actress, a singer, and she's called Jane Horrocks.
Oh.
And there she is, just there.
Very nice to have you here, Jane. Yeah, we're very excited to have you here, Jane.
I can't carry on talking like this.
Now you're going to have to revert to your lustrous Lancashire... I was trying to think of some other word, but it's not happening, is it? Lustrous Lancashire...
Lunch
language? So, anyway, right, so how did you get here today? In a taxi?
I did, in a Mercedes-Benz. Very nice driver who was in the music industry.
Was he?
Well, he was. Now he's a driver.
What was, what was his job?
He was a tour manager.
With the Trogs or what? Who?
Oh, I don't know. He had long hair.
Do you know?
I'll ask him again. Yeah, but there you are. That's the thing. When you said he's driving cars now, but he had been in the music industry. I thought for a moment it might have been like maybe Sir Simon Rattle or someone like this that you might have had, because things are pretty tough out there.
Yeah, he looks a little bit like Simon Rattle.
They usually are.
A trog.
I had a painter and decorator who did some work in my house, whose claim to fame that he was once in Chicory Tip.
Oh, and then hitching a ride.
What did they do? Son of my father.
Oh, that's right. Son of my father.
And then I looked up, and it found out that it was a lie. He wasn't. And I thought, if I was going to tell a porky, I would have picked a better group than Chicory Tip.
Oh, and he was telling lies.
I would have said Jethro Tull or something like that.
Oh, yes.
You know, but no. Anyway,
additional percussionist in
Led
Zeppelin.
I'll probably get sued for slander now, because there was just no pictures of him in Chicory Tip
that you could see.
Maybe it was before they became famous.
Let's leave it at that. Anyway, you've been a pop singer.
A pop singer.
When did you first start? What's the first? Actually, out of interest, when was the first time you sang? When was the first time you can remember singing and thinking, "Hey, I can do this. People like this."
Well, I think probably on the hills of Lancashire, singing "The Hills Are Alive" with the Sound of Music.
Oh,
did
you? As Julie Andrews, yeah. And
how
I thought,
old were
I
you?
Like doing this. Probably about 9, something like that.
You went out on your own and did it.
Although I might have been doing it earlier, actually, because I did do a production of the Sound of Music with my friend Beverly Reed, and that was before I was 9. So I did sounding like Julie Andrews, and then found I could sound like other folk.
I think you've got some of the best hills, probably the best hills in the world around Lancashire, actually. And I've been to a few hills.
I like hills. I like Pendle Hill, you know, the witches.
Yes.
I like that. And I went there, we were on tour, and we were driving past, and I said, can we go and have a look at Pendle Hill, and specifically where the witches lived, and it was a very bleak day, which it always is, seems to be in Lancashire, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I've really liked that drive round there, because we're talking about driving in, you know, in a large capacity in this podcast, and that was a really good drive. I enjoyed that.
Yes, we talk about transport. I mean, out of interest, Jane, what's your favourite method of transport? Is it a ship, a boat, a plane, a car, bicycle, foot?
Well, I have been actually cycling every day since lockdown, which
Me
I
too.
Really enjoy. Oh, really?
Had you cycled before?
Yes, on and off, yes. But I kind of, I've become a bit addicted to it now and I love it.
What have you got? A mountain bike?
Mountain bike, yeah.
Because my dad made one, a Carlton racing bike, which I got for my, I think, 13th birthday. And he made it from all different bits of other bikes, which was a really nice thing to do, wasn't it? He got like loads of old, you know, good racing bike bits and put it all together.
Did it work?
It went very well. But I rammed it into a tree and broke the front end of it.
Oh.
It was just carelessness. I said that a puppy had run out in front of me, which I shouldn't have done, really.
A puppy?
A puppy.
Oh, I thought you said a poppy.
Yeah, poppy.
A poppy blew up over the field into my eyes.
But I mean, why were you lying about it anyway? You weren't claiming any insurance or anything, were you?
No, I just didn't want to.
Just checking.
You know, foolhardy driving.
Yes.
And you don't want to take the blame. That's what it was about, really.
Yeah, exactly.
I just was careless.
But Jane, in your cycling, are you a keen cyclist? I mean, it's good exercise, yes. But one of the reasons I'm keen on cycling is I'm a keen nosy parker. And from a bicycle, I think you get much better view of different things, don't you?
Yes, you do.
You can see into people's gardens and, you know, do you do that?
Well, I go on the same route every day, which is along the Richmond towpath to Teddington. And it is the same route every day, which I like. But I think I've become nosy parkerish about the people that I pass, because I pass a lot of the same people, because I go at about 7:30 in the morning. And so I've named quite a few of the people, and I get pleasure in seeing those people.
Have you written stories around them in your mind?
Well, there's one lady called Tall Enigmatic who wasn't speaking to me at the beginning, but since at the beginning, she's now started to smile at me and even say hello.
That's a start.
She could be a friend. Mm. And would you still call her Tall Enigmatic then, when you find out
she will always be Tall Enigmatic.
I go swimming quite often.
Do you?
I'm an avid early morning swimmer.
Oh, yeah.
In a swimming pool.
Oh.
And I have names for the people who swim. There's usually me and some very old ladies. Mm. And there's the Weaver. Who weaves around.
Yes.
Does backstroke and can never find a direct route. But Tall Enigmatic. There is one in the swimming pool who's Tall and Enigmatic, who's also an Olympian swimmer.
Oh, really?
Who just shouldn't be in an old lady's pool. Mm. She should be in an Olympic pool. So there's the barges along this route.
Yeah, there are barges.
Do you look into them?
No, I don't. It's the people more. But there's a sad one, and he's called Tourette's Cough. And he has a sort of Tourette's Cough as he's running. He's a jogger. And he had two sort of white fluffy dogs. And now he's only got one white fluffy dog. And I wonder what's happened to the other one.
How does his Tourette's manifest itself? What, as he's running?
Yeah, Tourette's Cough.
So you don't think he's got a cough at all? It's an affected thing that he can't help. Well, not an affected thing, but it's not a physical cough. It's just
affected. I think so. But he's stopped doing that recently, and I wondered whether maybe the death of his other dog
is it, you think that's what's triggered it?
Or abduction. You don't know it's died, the dog, do you?
No, maybe abducted, or maybe it's sickly, maybe it's retired from running.
I knew a sound man who recorded in film who had Tourette's, and he barked like a dog if ever he saw a woman that he fancied or someone that he admired.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that man fancied me then?
Well, he would have barked, and I thought, oh, that's a terrible affliction for a sound man to have, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Just when you're sort of working with somebody and they're recording a very sensitive vocal or something like that, and he suddenly starts barking.
Someone that he fancied, you know, maybe in a particularly avid love scene. And then we'll have to do that again because he keeps barking.
But the people on your towpath walk, do you sort of deliberately try and sort of befriend them with a hello or something?
Well, when I started off doing the ride, I was, because there was a lot of misery on the towpath, so I decided to...
People aren't aware of that. Oh, there is a lot of misery on the towpath.
Yeah, there was a lot of misery on it. That's a good song, isn't it? Misery on the towpath.
I was just thinking it's a good film from 1963.
Misery on the towpath. Yeah. So there was misery on the towpath. So I decided to smile and be very cheerful and say hello to people. And then it wore thin and I got fed up of doing it, so I don't do it anymore. But I do sort of sometimes smile.
Mm. I think it's quite nice to say good morning to people. I think it's quite a good habit, you know.
Yes.
Some people get a bit frightened by it.
Well, I think that was the case. One woman looked at me in absolute horror and disgust.
Good morning, and she looked at you like, what do you mean
by
that?
She looked at me like I'd said, really? Good morning, you.
Yeah.
Slag.
Well, I was going to say something worse, but better not. But it was that sort of face.
I like people, you know, it just reminded me, when I was, I don't know, 15, 16, and I used to go and work on a tomato farm, and out of school time, and there'd be fellas going to work on their bikes, like rows and rows of them, and they'd all be saying good morning and whistling. And that's another thing you don't get, people saying good morning and whistling on bicycles.
Yes.
It's a nice thing, isn't it?
Also, I don't know whether you wear a helmet, Jules.
Well, no, I'm a continental cyclist, so I wear a flat cap.
Oh, yes.
Do you wear a helmet?
Well, I wasn't wearing a helmet. And then my neighbour said to me, you should wear a helmet. My sons don't wear a helmet and I worry about them. So that sort of got into my psyche. And then a woman stopped me and said, I've seen you cycling and I noticed that you don't wear a helmet, and proceeded to tell me about the accidents that she'd had on the towpath. And anyway, I carried on not wearing a helmet. And then it was obviously got into my head about falling off and hitting my head, even though I was resisting wearing a helmet. And then I was dusting one day and I hit my head. And I thought, well, it's happened in some other form. So now I wear a helmet.
But when you're dusting.
I would imagine you wear a German helmet from your Hell's Angels days. Do you drive a car?
I do drive a car, but I'm not a very good driver.
How would you describe your style? The Lancashire style of driving?
Very cautious. Well, actually, I'm a very angry driver. So once I get behind the wheel... Slow and angry, and everybody else is wrong but me, even though I realise I'm not a good driver. So, I come out with a lot of obscenities.
Yes.
In the car.
Are the people in the car with you, or the other road users?
Other road users.
Yes.
And
could you give us an example of how this road rage manifests itself?
Just basic, you know, like, I don't know, just somebody doing a basic thing that isn't that bad.
Do you flip the bird at people?
No, I don't flip the bird.
Do you give them the two-fingered salute?
No, I do lots of, duh!
That's all right, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, you know, giving a two-fingered salute is probably a bit too old-fashioned now.
Yes.
You know, when you
also, I think the trouble is you know you do that to somebody and you don't realise that you hear endless stories that I did this, and then this sort of man mountain stroke gorilla gets out of the car with a machete and a submachine gun, and it was just that's the worry, isn't it? Yeah,
because people do the wanker sign, don't they?
Do
mostly,
they? Yes.
If you want to suggest that someone's driving is below standard. That's the side, out of the side window. That's
is
what
it?
You get, isn't it?
I think because I'm not such a good driver, to take my hands off the wheel might be quite dangerous to do those signs.
But you wouldn't do that if you were walking, or maybe on a bicycle.
No,
you wouldn't. It's the being contained within the vehicle.
The other trouble with this is, if I may say so, if Jim and I were your passenger in the vehicle, and then and I've been in this situation. I'll give you an example. I was driving up the A1 just past the Markham Moor Services. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're just going past. It's before we got there actually, and a roundabout like kind of, I drove around a roundabout and there was a car and I must have just got a bit closer and he bibbed his horn. So my passenger completely, you know, and I think there should be a button and a thing on cars you could put on their roof, like a police thing. It just says, sorry about that. No hard feelings. Mm. That's why. But instead, that we don't have that. So instead, my friend just did the two finger sign to this bloke completely
without my
yes. consent. I'd have sort of thing you've got to give written consent for, isn't it? Really? But he just did that. So then we're both in this together, and it's like, well, I don't. Well, I have something. And anyway, then this man is behind us. We've got two young lads in the back, maybe aged sort of 10, and I think this is the best thing that's ever happened. The bloke chasing us with his headlights.
Well, he was
flashing.
Chasing you, was it?
Yeah, because I've now been put in this situation unnecessarily. Anyway, and we get into the Markham Moor services because we need petrol, and then my friend says, oh, he's in behind us now. Lads, this is still even better, you know, we're going to get duffed up by someone. Anyway, bloke gets out of the car, and my friend, who's done the finger thing, winds the window down 1 inch.
And says, I'm Jerry Lee Lewis, what are you going to do about it?
That would have been a very good thing to say, but he doesn't. He winds down the window 1 inch, and the bloke, I think, oh, this is so like, oh, wow, have we got into this? All I'm trying to do is wind me up. And the aggressor came up and said, I think you owe me an apology. At which point, my associate, who'd wound the window down 1 inch, said, sorry, in a very unfeeling way. He said, fair enough then, and got back in the car and went off.
I think that's all they want,
isn't
it?
That's good.
Yes, but I thought that was good. But I think it should be a flashing, it is a motoring podcast, vaguely, or transport podcast, something that fits on the roof, that just flashes up.
Terribly sorry.
You can have a number, terribly sorry, or you prize whatever. Because you can go the other way and sort of insult the person, I suppose. Yeah, that would be my
on an LED thing in the back window.
Yeah.
Suggesting that you might want to rearrange your style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Well, but what about if you're walking down Regent Street and someone gets in front of you? Would you give them a hand signal? You know, a rude hand signal.
If they cut in front of you?
Yeah.
Why Regent Street?
Well, I don't know, anywhere.
It always happens there.
Pick the high, you know, reapply that to any high street in Britain.
Okay.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
Weston-super-Mare.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that. What one that sticks out particularly for me was when I just got back, because I learned to drive when I was 21, and then I had a long period of not driving, and then when I had kids, it just became a nuisance not to drive, so I had some brush-up lessons. So I was just getting back into driving, and I just bought myself a car, and I was driving along the river at the bottom of my road. And
on the towpath?
Not quite. Yeah, that's the only place I drive. And a man behind me, There were lots of people because it was rugby day, so there were lots of rugby jolly people at the pub, and so I was going slowly because they were all in the pathway, and this man peeped me behind, and I got out of the car and went to his window and went, what?
Oh.
What did he do?
He looked shocked.
Well, you would do.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then I got back in and I drove.
Well, okay, so I tell you, okay, that's a great, I think that's a very interesting, what is a very, you could have that on the sign. So John Bentley, who was the bass player in Squeeze, had this experience. He was teaching many years ago, he told me he was teaching his girlfriend how to drive, and they've got big L plates, and like, it's clear what, you know, you just look at the situation, it's obvious that he's teaching his girlfriend how to drive, or a woman how to drive in the car. Anyway, at the traffic lights, she just stalls, the car bumps and stalls just as they go green. And the instant the car just hesitates for a moment, the car behind, beep, 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 beep. It's like obvious what's happened here. So he gets out of the car. I said, what'd you do? He said, I got out of the car. I went up to the I said, what'd you do? He said, I said to him, I said, look, let's swap places. You get in my car and try and teach my girlfriend how to drive. I'll sit in your car and bib the horn. Should we do that instead? And that shut the bloke up.
Very good.
But he didn't actually do it.
No.
But that's a good thing to do.
Good role reversals,
yes.
Very good.
But if they're prepared to do that, some of them aren't, you know. Mm. But when you shouted what at the person, did it flash across your mind that you might be shouting what at a psychopath?
At him, a psychopath?
Yes.
No, not at all. Mm. No, he looked very cowed. And I was so strong when I got out because I was so annoyed.
That's a powerful thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it surprises people if you exert power like that.
But also, I knew I was in the right because there were so many pedestrians revelling and enjoying the rugby in the front of my car. So I knew that, what did he want me to do? Run them over?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let me tell you a story about a holiday that I once had in a car. Me and my friend spent 50 quid on, and we bought an Austin Cambridge from Ernest Pito in Croydon, and if you want to be specific. And so we drove it. We were going to go to the Isle of Wight, and we drove it. We got to Camberley in Surrey, I think, and it packed up, and it totally broke down, and a teddy boy in full Ted gear with the quiff, the drape jacket, the creepers and everything came up and said, I'm a mechanic, I'll sort that out for you. I said, well, we're going on holiday. He said, well, it'll take me a couple of days. So we hitchhiked and we went to the Isle of Wight, which is another story. When we got there, actually, I'll tell you that story. When we got there, we were hitchhiked and we took our tent with us and we were camping and we went to a disco and a fella came up. There are other fellas who take the photograph for 50p for holiday snaps. So we were sitting chatting up a couple of girls and this fella was taking a picture. I said, oh, to these girls, trying to impress them. I said, we're in UB40. We're halfway through a tour and we jumped ship. We've cleared off and he's from the papers and he's taking a picture of us, you know, and he's...
And so, did they buy it?
So yeah. The girls bought it and they said, well, we'll tell our boyfriends to sort him out. So they got the boyfriends who then threw the holiday photographer out and then the disc jockey...
This sounds like a side plot to...
Well, it's all going off on...
Poor photographer!
This is what happens when you tell one little lie. The disc jockey then said, we've got two important people in here. We're gonna, and he played Red, Red Wine. Everyone started gathering around us. The manager of the disco came up and said, where are you staying? I'll get you a car to take you back there. We were in a campsite, so we said, we're at that posh hotel. And he went, oh, the so-and-so. And then got us driven there. We had to get out and then walk 4 miles back to our campsite. And then run away from the island before it got any deeper. And then got back to Camberley, where the teddy boy was fixing our car. We knocked on his door and his wife said, he's not a mechanic. He just tells people he is. And he dug a hole in his garden and dropped the engine in it. And it was there, just our end, the engine laying there in a hole in the garden.
Oh.
And the teddy boy had run off.
Oh, no. What a strange story.
Yes. It is a very strange story. It's like a small drama.
Yeah.
Mm.
One episode of Misery on the Towpath. Yeah.
Mm.
Join us next week for one of my intriguing
stories.
What about other methods of transport? I mean, Jane, are you keen on that? Do you like boats? Are you a boatist?
Not massively. I was thinking about when I was a bit... I don't really have many baby memories, but I do remember being wheeled around in a pram, and I wonder whether that could be sort of reinvented for adults. You could get a big human-sized silver cross.
Yeah.
And you could lie down in it and have somebody push you and see all the world and the trees as a baby would.
That would be nice, yes.
But also, you might appear unwell.
Well, not if you were in a silver cross.
I'll tell you what, also, you'd be a bit of a, you, if you don't want me saying so, you'd be a bit of a notice box going down. You know, you're going down the towpath, because presumably it would have to be sort of a baby. is maybe 1/8 of the size of a human. Of a full
grown human. It would be a big silver cross.
So it would have to be 8 times bigger than the normal silver cross, which would be pretty big. You know, it's like the size of a house almost.
Well, no, it would
so
be
you
big.
Want to get someone on stilts to push you around.
You have to have a couple of people on stilts pushing along the towpath. It's going to be a lot of. I'm just saying you're going to be noticed, that's all.
Yeah, it would be noticed, wouldn't
it? I think that it could take on, it could be popular. And I'd want to have a little sort of blanket as well and a bonnet. And I'd be wrapped up like a baby.
Oh, lovely.
And be cooed over. No, not necessarily that. But I would like to see the trees, and I'd like to see the trees and everything, and all the surroundings from a baby, point of view.
But you could come on the back of my pickup truck, say, and we could put you in a bit of swaddling on the back of a pickup truck. Jim would sit there making sort of nanny type noises, and maybe just making the sound of lighting a giant cigarette, which he could loom over the back of the pickup truck, just a gigantic cigarette, which was nanny's cigarette sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're swerving quite close to kinkiness.
Any nice train journeys? What's a nice train journey you like, or station you like?
I do like Waterloo Station.
Yes. Do you meet people under the clock there?
No, I don't actually. I meet them at Foyle's bookshop.
Oh, nice.
Is that your favourite station?
I think it is.
I like St Pancras.
Yeah, I think those northern stations that head north, I feel that they have a bit of a darkness about them. So Euston, to me, has a bit of a darkness. It brings a dark cloud over my head.
I like Piccadilly, because then I know I'm at Manchester and it's the end of my trip, which is otherwise quite dull.
a little moment of excitement in your day.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I like getting to Stockport because I know I'm 5 minutes away from Manchester.
But returning to Euston, if we may, you say a bit of cloud of gloom, but I think that might be because they got rid of the Euston Railway Arch, which of course Thomas Hardwick designed and put up in the 1860s or whatever it was.
Is that big triumphal arch?
It's a huge triumphal arch. And the idea, because it was the first time that anybody could get on a train, and it was the first line that went out of London in such a distance, you could go from there to, I don't know, Carlisle or whatever it was. And it was just unbelievable that people could travel that far. So it represented this thing you walked through that was a portal which took you to places you could never have dreamed of going before. You see. But then in 1959, it was torn down by the barbarians, you see. So I wonder if they put that back, you might sort of put a slightly more cheerful light on it.
I think maybe it's because my mum and my dad used to, when I was younger, they used to meet me off the station at Piccadilly. So there was sort of a nice, lovely greeting at the other end. But when my dad deteriorated and wasn't able to come and collect me, that stopped and I had to get a taxi. So it wasn't like there was sort of a nice thing at the other end, just having to get a taxi.
It's nice being met off a train, isn't it?
Yes.
There's something very nice.
By the local police force or whatever.
Customs officers. <Yes. laughs> Oh, dear.
How about international train travel? Have you tried that at all?
Yes, I've been to... Well, obviously, I've been to Paris. Most people have been to Paris, haven't they?
I think that's a modern romantic train, I think. That's the Euro style.
Yeah, lovely. But not nowhere else. And I would like to... Maybe Japan. I'd like to travel by train around Japan.
Love and they're bang on time. And they've got a great system of getting you on. There's a gate. But they're always bang on time. If you're not on it, they'll leave. And what I like is...
Well, they'll do that, the trains. I mean, they don't wait. It's not like a taxi.
Yes.
You know, you don't hail it. But
Jim's going to be 10 more minutes.
No, but they're there. You know, the train's going to be here in 10 seconds. It'll be there.
Yes, no. Well, the bullet train.
And they have fellas on them with white gloves that point at everything. They'll point at you and they'll point at the clock and then they'll say, go. And the train goes.
I quite like that job.
And when on smaller trains in Japan... If you sit right behind the fellow who's driving it, he points with his white glove at the clock as he's passing the clock on the track. And then he points at his clock in his cabin and then points down the track and point at everything just to make sure they're absolutely bang on time.
Is he being filmed?
No, he's absolutely doing it out of his own volition. He'll point at you. And they'll say, you are getting on the train.
How strange. I have been on the bullet train. I don't remember seeing that.
Oh, well,
but I'd like to go around, you know, not the cities of Japan.
Yes, some lovely, nice gardens they've got there. Garden railway, that's quite a nice thing. Have you ever thought about one of those?
No.
You know, you have a railway going around your garden, an outdoor sort of thing.
You've got a railway, haven't you?
Well, mine's small scale, indoors. But there are people that have those ones going around their garden. There's a fellow driving through Birmingham, on the outskirts of Birmingham. Me and Roland were going there, and it's my railway open today. We saw this sign, and it was on this sort of, bloke had sort of a bungalow and quite a biggish garden. And before you knew it, me and Roland were sitting inside a sort of third scale Intercity 125 going around this bloke's garden.
Really?
And he had a tunnel and everything. It was really fantastic.
Yeah,
and
that sounds wonderful. Yeah.
So we got hunched down inside it.
You sort of sat in it like you would have sort of like a low sort of.
Or
like
maybe lie down in it.
I don't think there was any impropriety going on. He did have some pampas grass, which is always slightly suspicious, but it was a lovely experience. I sort of liked the bloke, and we were the only people there for the whole day, as far as I could see. We said, how many does do we get round for our 50p? And he said, well, as many as you like. So I think we stayed for an hour, round and round.
Oh, lovely!
Yeah, it really was.
That
a little
nice,
bridge with a little sort of pond.
Oh, that's all cute.
No, it's absolutely lovely.
I've had some of my best sleeps on trains.
Oh, where?
Just going up to Manchester, actually.
Oh, yeah, nice. Don't worry, people are leaning in and taking selfies of you while you're asleep.
I don't care.
Out of interest, do you, Jane, would you, what's that film where the man falls in love? Brief Encounter.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
right. Yes. Who would you have been in that film?
Probably Celia Johns.
Yes.
I liked it when she said, it's all so sordid.
Yes.
Is it just it's her and Trevor Howard? Is that it? Is there anyone else in
there? Yeah, there are. Well, there's a husband.
And
cuckolded husband.
You've forgotten all about him. So did she. And of course, there's Valentine Dial, who plays the friend when he goes around the flat. But, you know, I put that film on for Ruby Turner one rainy afternoon when she was around my house and we had nothing to do for the afternoon. And I had to go out somewhere to put it on, see what you think of that. And she was outraged at the low moral. She's never seen such a absolutely immoral film. I've never seen anything like it. She was outraged by it.
Yeah. Was she?
I think it's one of the best. It's the best love story
yes,
ever.
Yes, isn't
and
it?
The great thing, it's about, just over an hour long.
Is that all it is?
I think so, yeah. It's quite a short film. There's not much else you can say really about it, though, isn't it? So, you know, in a waiting room, but it's great, looks great, and she didn't like the morality of it, though.
Ruby didn't. But then I did visit Carnforth, where they've got a tea, which is where it was filmed, and they've got a little tea room and a museum.
Well, exactly. It's the lady who served the tea. That's the other part.
Yes, that's quite a nice part.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that noise in the waiting room. I love all of that sound. Yeah, and the smoke and the steam and the sort of film noir essence. Mm. But there was a letter. They've got a letter framed from Celia Johnson. And it was so fantastic because it was exactly... You could hear her speaking because it said, I just wanted to write to thank the station master and the porter, that dear, because it was I was such a fool and I dropped my handkerchief and he picked it up from the track and so idiotic of me. It's so charming. Do thank that lovely little man who did the thing. And it was like, it was her speaking, you know.
Yeah.
She'd loved them all, had a nice time there.
They're always little men, aren't they?
Today's programme was sponsored by the Sony Discman, Chop Suey, Bilbo Baggins Burger Van on the outskirts of Tenby. Is that any good?
Or, pretty good, yeah. No, and
yeah. Kenny Loggins Nuts.
Yes.
I was going to ask you... because I had the luxury once a while ago of going on Concord, and I wondered whether either of you had been on Concord.
No, but I've heard that you get numerous gifts.
Yes, well, I've still got the pen.
Funnily enough, I did go on Concord. I did this television program in America, and they paid for me to go on Concord, so I was going on it once a week. I mean, if they'd given me the money, I would have taken the money and sort of swum there, but they paid, so that was it. But they did get the gifts. And curiously enough, only this morning, I was looking at a fantastic grey leather. And let's face it, grey leather with shoes, and that isn't so good, but grey leather, little, like a button thing where you keep sort of paperwork in it, which I've put some paperwork in with Concord written on it, and it looks so great. And I just want to sort of go into a meeting and put it down on the table. That's just my Concord attaché.
Yeah. I like that.
Very good.
When I was in the 60s, my uncle, auntie and uncle and cousins used to live in Bristol, and we used to see Brian Trubshaw, the test pilot, flying over in Concord before it actually existed.
How do you know it was Brian and not somebody else?
Because Brian Trubshaw was the only bloke, the only pilot that would let through the doors of Concorde.
Good name, Concorde. For...
It is amazing, though, isn't it? When Concorde ever went over, I remember my mum always saying, "Oh, look, Concorde." And it was a real sort
yes,
of
exactly.
highlight of the day, wasn't it, if Concorde went
day,
over?
Once a day, we played in Kew Gardens. We used to play in Kew Gardens in front of the big greenhouse.
Yeah,
I've
seen you there.
Exactly, and they moved in, but it was in front of the greenhouse. It was really fantastic. And when the Concorde went over, it used to bank because it could see the concert, and it would... it was like a thing, you know. Do you like flying?
I don't mind it. But to be honest, since lockdown, I'm quite happy to go to the British Isles and discover, you know, there's so much to discover in the British Isles that I'm really not interested in going abroad.
I never have been because I can't take the day getting somewhere at an airport.
I will drive to Europe, you see, and from around these parts you can go on the... In 2 hours, you're sort of having lunch into Europe, you know.
You can get to Zurich.
Not in 2 hours. It's the motorway service. It's just outside Calais, actually. I'm having my lunch in.
You can drive down to the EastEnders booze barn just outside Calais.
For a day out. Oh, it's marvellous.
That's it.
Thank you so much. It's been marvellous to have you here as our guest, the wonderful Jane Horrocks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. For having me.
How are you getting back today? Horse and cart or your bicycle?
I think I'll go for the horse and cart.
Well, there she goes. Thank you, Jane Horrocks. She goes off on a bicycle.
What a wonderful guest to have on. She's gone off on a bicycle, cycling back along the towpath of misery.
The towpath that goes from here in Greenwich to Twickenham, which is quite some way.
And if you wished, it could go probably all the way beyond up through Gloucestershire and so forth to the very source of the Thames.
Because you can go everywhere on a towpath, can't you?
Do you think she's gone to the very source of the Thames? We should have asked her that.
Let's find out next time we speak to Jane Horrocks. But there she goes now.
Lovely.
Goodbye, Jane. Goodbye.
Have you got a motoring-related song there?
I most certainly have. My old mane says follow the vein and don't dilly-dally upon the way. Oft went the vein with me own pegs in it, I walk behind with me old cook linnet. But I delete and delete, delete and delete. Lost me way and don't know where to look. And you can't trust a special like an old time copper when you can't find your way home. Ta-da!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.